My name is Jim Mullins, and I'm Jamie's husband, and we work together here at the Cooty Garden. We're sometimes not sure what to call ourselves. On the one hand, we're not quite a homestay, we're not quite a backpackers, we're definitely not a motel, and we've ended up with the term eco-stay, because we're interested in doing things in an environmentally sustainable way. And people sort of quite often understand the term eco-stay to mean more or less what we are, I think. We thought of calling it a garden stay, but there aren't any other garden stays, and it's not obvious what a garden stay is. But in a way it is a garden stay, because it's all in a garden.
Yeah.
Everything that we do is in a garden.
Mm. And what other elements of a Cooty Gardens is environmentally friendly or environmentally aware?
Well, we have a sort of eco-design wastewater system. The wastewater goes through a sort of reed bed system, filters the grey water. We have a compost toilet. We have a solar shower. The garden is all run on organic lines, so we don't use any pesticides or herbicides at all. And we make use of solar power around the place a bit. What we're trying to do here is to create lovely spaces, really. There's no grand plan. We never sort of sat down and worked it all out. We've been gradually building it up over time.
Yeah.
And we'll think of an idea or think of something to do in a particular place and do it, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes things end up in the wrong place and we move them around or change.
Yeah.
So it has evolved in a very haphazard way, or in an organic way perhaps, but that's kind of work, that seems to be how it has worked. It isn't very planned. And there would be advantages to planning something. If we were starting something like this from scratch, we might plan it a bit more, more of an idea about what was going to happen where. Whereas what's tended to happen is that ideas have come and we've worked with them and seen what works and what doesn't. But it's a particular kind of garden that is, you know, little paths and little arbors and little sort of bits, nice little bits to sit out in,
and all the
veggies and the herbs and the yurts sort of sit in there.
And I love the way the yurts, each individual yurt has got its own kind of little environment around it, you know.
Feel
like you're in quite a special place when you're in a yurt, you know, in a special place within a special place.
And again, that's sort of just, you know, come through experimenting and thinking, you know, this would probably be a good place to put a yurt, and then putting it there and then realising it wasn't such a good place. And the nice thing about yurts is you can move them around.
Yeah. Accommodation unit or something to study.
Well, we both came across yurts back in the UK.
Right.
They're quite popular in, for example, in festivals. You come across them. People using them either as accommodation or as meeting places. And, and we've both always really liked yurts. We like the way they look and the feel of them. And we went out and bought a book, the Complete Yurt Handbook by Paul King. That's our Bible for yurt building.
Your first yurt, is that still here on the?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And does it differ very much in the way you build it, or how it looks in the end to your most recent one, which I know you've just finished the other day?
Yes. We've developed our way of building them a bit. But it's broadly, it's the same kind of structure, the same principle. But as we've become more confident with building them, we've you know, departed from Paul King's original instructions.
Right. Yeah.
And worked it out ourselves.
And because the inside is, it's like a lattice framework wooden structure, isn't it? Then overlaid with heavy canvas.
Yes.
What would be the most difficult part of that process?
Well, it's all got to, there are lots of little elements to it. There are lots of little bits that have to be done, and you've got to get them all right for it to all fit together properly in the end. So I wouldn't say that there are particular parts of it that are more difficult than others. There are one or two things that were a challenge to us. So the walls, the rods that form the lattice work of the walls are steam bent to give them the right profile. And we haven't done any steam bending before, so we had to work out how to do that. And involves getting a big metal tube and putting the rods inside the tube and then putting plugs at either end and then attaching a couple of kettles and leaving the steam to fill the tube for half an hour or so.
Oh my goodness.
And literally you're soaking the wood in the steam.
Got it.
Then when you pull the wood out, you can bend it into a shape and hold it in a former, and it'll hold that shape.
Right. And so you do all that on site here.
So that required a bit of working out how to do that. The wheel at the top of the roof required a bit of working out. But it is, there are many different bits to it. The sewing has been very challenging because it's heavy canvas and it's large, moving large pieces through a sewing machine. And Jane is the chief sewer and has done a marvellous job of that.
Yeah, incredible, yeah.
But it's been... there's been a bit to learn there.
Yeah. And have you had to invest in any particular technology or equipment to do all this?
Well, a pretty hefty sewing machine.
Yeah.
A walking foot industrial sewing machine, which we got off Trade Me.
Yeah.
Which is good most of the time.
Right.
Can be a little bit temperamental occasionally. That's the one single piece of technology that we've got that you wouldn't find in your average home workshop. Everything else is, and the steam bending thing is you know, has required a bit of putting together. They have a nice feel about them. They look they look interesting. People respond quite well to the feeling inside them. And it's just to do with that being a circular structure with that circle in the ceiling and all the poles radiating out from it. Just has a nice feel about it.
I spoke to some of your guests this morning and they said they'd all had amazing sleeps and they sleep really deeply when they're in the yurt, and having slept in one myself, I know that feeling. It's it's quite extraordinary. You feel kind of outside but inside in a
it's a nice sort of halfway point between a room and a tent. It basically, you're under canvas, so in that sense you're in a tent, but it's a very well constructed tent and it has a wooden floor and a wooden door. And we provide nice beds with good mattresses, and so you've got, you're a lot more comfortable than you would generally be in an ordinary tent. But and yet you are outside, you know, so you've got all the sounds of the birds and the stream and the possums. You're outside and yet you're more inside than you are in an ordinary tent.
This garden is so lovely, and there's lots of strawberries and peaches and flowers and lovely plants and lots of trees and there's lovely bees coming around and lots of flowers, and there's lots of lovely plants. Like there's lettuce and parsley and there's
We'll walk and talk because it's You can't not walk around these places. It's lovely. So tell me about yourself.
Well, I'm a gardener, true gardener, gardened all my life, been brought up as a gardener. My parents are gardeners, and moved here from Wales 10 years ago. And we've created this place, and we just wanted to make a beautiful place, a beautiful garden.
Yeah. What was it before you arrived? Was it anything like this?
Yeah, the house is here.
Yeah.
And it's a nice old house. It's, well, for New Zealand, old.
Yeah.
It's just over 100 years old.
Wow, that is old.
Yeah. And there are a few outbuildings, which are still here, which are great. But this is all paddock. And we've terraced it off since we've been here. And every year we seem to move the fence back one more terrace.
Right.
So the garden keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Wow.
Which is more and more work.
Yeah. Keeps you fit though.
Yeah, but it's really very productive and a very pretty garden. We've always wanted an orchard, so we've actually extended the garden up the hill so we can have an orchard, which you can see over there.
Yep.
Just a few youngish fruit trees.
But still, but it just, producing?
Yeah, it's just starting to produce this year, so that's good. Yeah.
And so you keep the veggies close to the house and your herbs?
Yeah, herbs all around the house, veggies and flowers near the house. It's a bit sort of permaculture.
Oh, it's wonderful. Sort of. I love the way that you've got the wildflowers in amongst all the crops.
Yeah.
So you've been here for the whole 10 years?
Yeah.
So you moved from Wales and you moved straight into this property?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
What was the biggest challenge, do you think, when you first arrived?
Biggest challenge? Perhaps working out how to stay on this property.
Right.
Without having to go into Christchurch to work, to look for work.
Yeah.
So trying to work out doing some sort of business here, which would just sort of make us a living without having to commute.
And it's working. When guests come to stay here, they can use the compost loo and they can use the outdoor shower. And what kind of design have you gone for the compost loo? Because it's quite a unique, it's a great wooden cabin. It's a great place to go for a pee.
Well,
how did you choose the design? Because I know that can be quite a challenge for somebody who wants to use a compost loo or design a compost loo. I mean, they don't come without their challenges. And especially for people who are not used to using them.
Yeah.
Trying to make it as user-friendly as possible.
Yeah. Well, I think, we've got the system. It's called a kiwi bog.
Right.
So that's the sort of the form of it. And it's a urine separator. So it's a dry composting system.
Right.
And sort of operates like a long drop.
Okay.
But goes all the stuff goes into a biodegradable corn sack.
Right.
Which gets changed very frequently.
Yep.
Depending on its usage.
Yeah.
And it gets composted away from site.
Right.
And that in turn, we don't use that any of that on a garden, but we do use it after 2 years, after it's well composted, when we plant trees and everything.
Wow, but it...
Yeah, and even in flower pots, actually, we use it.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's just like, it's great soil.
And there's stuff sprouting and lots of lovely things. And there's lots of fox plants and lots of lovely things you can see from a mountain, and lots of lovely things you can see from big mountains, and there's lots of butterflies too.
Hopes that it's the new year, so what do you think will happen within Akuti Gardens over the next 12 months?
We're keen to be, we have been, and we're keen to continue moving steadily away from just providing accommodation to providing a place for different events. We're not big, we can't have huge events here, but we can have up to sort of 50 or 60 people during the day and 20 odd people staying overnight. And you know, we've had workshops, we've had singing workshops and art workshops and Tai Chi classes, and we've had weddings here, and We've had yoga classes here. So we're keen to do more of that kind of thing. We've got a little sort of mini health and wellness festival happening at the end of February, which will involve a lot of people that offer things like Tai Chi and yoga and Pilates and acupuncture and all kinds of those sort of things. And they'll gather here and offer lots of different workshops and presentations and so on to tell people about what they do.
Wonderful. Is that open to the general public?
Or yes, it is. Yeah.
Great. And it's at the end of February?
22nd of February.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you ever so much.
Oh, pleasure.